You are listening to The News Project, in studio. Brought to you by GNAT TV.
Hello and welcome to another edition of GNAT TV's in-depth series. I'm Andrew McKeever, the news director here at GNAT TV's News Project, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. It's also a great pleasure to be joined here in the studio by Ann Corso, who is the executive director of the Southern Vermont Art Center. She has been in that position since last January, almost a year ago now. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Right.
She came to Manchester from Norfolk, Virginia, where she was the education director of the Chrysler Museum of Art. Before that, she served as the director of education at the Reading Public Museum in Pennsylvania from 2007 to 2012. Where she created the first family learning center. And then from 2004 to 2007, she was the director of education at the Delaware Art Museum in Wilmington. So, a common thread running through all of that, it sounds like. Education clearly is an area of interest for you. But I guess I was just wondering, what attracted you to the job at SVAC after spending time down south? Did you want to come back up north? Is that the idea?
A lot of things. You know, I was at a moment in my career where I had led departments and done a lot of education, arts education, but I wanted to take a step into a new role and have a new challenge. And what interested me about the Southern Vermont Arts Center was it seemed like it was a place that needed to be reinvigorated and really would benefit from community programming and developing community relationships. So that was something that I had really worked on my entire career. But yes, it was geography too. I'm a Philadelphia native. I wanted to come back north and didn't quite expect to be this far north. but my husband had ties to the Southern Vermont area. And when we came up and saw the campus of the Art Center and saw the surrounding areas, we really fell in love with it and thought this would be a great place to have the next chapter of our lives.
All right. Well, so you've been in the position now, roughly 10 months or so. What's been the biggest change you've seen or that you've overseen since you've been here?
Well, I think, you know, one of my charges is to sort of make the organization a bit healthier. And that comes in a lot of ways, and some that aren't particularly interesting, rebuilding the infrastructure and the facilities. But really, the reason to do that is to expand and build your audience. And that's what I've been focusing on throughout my tenure there, is really thinking about how can we be relevant to our community, the various segments of our community here in Southern Vermont, our year-round residents, our summer residents, our tourists, and thinking about developing an entire suite of programs and exhibitions that keeps us relevant year-round.
Mm-hmm. So you must have some shows already in the pipeline coming up for next year. Can you tell us about some of them?
I can. I would love to. One of the first things that we're thinking about is really recreating an exhibition program that keeps us open throughout the year. And so there's an exhibition that we are installing, it's a traveling exhibition that came from a photographer who was really dealing with issues of social importance and sort of topical issues. And this one in particular are these beautiful portraits of people who are struggling with various kinds of mental illness. That being said, it is not a depressing kind of exhibition. It's a wonderful, affirming show where each of the sitters tells their own story, not only about their struggles with their particular challenge, but more importantly, about their lives. And so the show is titled I Am More, really paying homage to the idea that each person is more than their supposed illness or the stereotype associated with it. So I think a really positive way that art can tell a story and connect the artwork to its audience. And so while this exhibition came up, you know, the team and I started thinking about how could we take this idea and expand upon it. And we realized that the medium of photography is so useful and is understood by almost everyone that we could really build a suite of exhibitions around not necessarily mental illness per se, but the broader ideas of personal narrative and social relevance. And so we're developing a suite of exhibitions with our other partners in the community, some of our schools, some of our teaching artists, with Bennington College, with Vermont Center for Photography, and are really using this to dovetail into the curriculum as well, and creating programming that will be available during the early winter months when, at least my instinct is, people need it most.
Indeed. I've often wondered, how do these shows come together? I mean, is it like someone has a light bulb moment at some point, goes, wow, you know, it'd be great to do a sort of photographs about people, struggling with mental illness or whatever. Or is it, more serendipitous or more planned? How does it all happen?
Well, it's a little bit of both. You know, in institutions where I've worked, you've often had sort of a long-range plan, particularly of your exhibitions. And you think about which ones might be family-related or academic or dealing with a particular medium or genre. And we're starting to develop that at Southern Vermont Art Center. But every once in a while, something just kind of falls into your lap. And that was actually the case with the I Am More exhibition. We had this opportunity to host this rather small exhibition of 22 portraits. But what I thought it could do is give us the opportunity to really work that larger part of our mission and that larger part of our strategic plan in re-engaging with our community. Mm-hmm. And so it took that little piece as inspiration to build upon it. So it's a little serendipitous and a little planned at the same time, if that answers the question.
Now, there's also an exhibit I gather you're planning to do next year at the Wilson Museum that sounded kind of interesting. Can you share some of the details about
that? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So in our summer months, we're thinking about an entirely new suite of thematic exhibitions that really celebrates the Year of the Woman. 2020 is the Year of the Woman, both, I think, officially and unofficially, as we think about, you know, the centennial of the passage of the 19th Amendment. And so what we wanted to do, and I know many of our other nonprofit partners in the area are thinking about these kind of thematic programs, is use the opportunity to feature a number of contemporary female artists. So we took this idea and kind of branded it as Women Take Wilson, because over the course of 4 months, we will have four different contemporary female artists from really all over, creating these unique exhibitions in our big, beautiful contemporary Wilson galleries. Hmm. So we have an artist from South Africa who is creating large-scale figurative paintings. Another woman was born in the States and raised in South Korea and recently come back. And she sort of deals with the idea of the depiction of women, particularly of her heritage and breaking down stereotypes. But another female photographer is also a set designer and creates these wonderfully elaborate sets and photographs them, telling kind of a fairy tale-like story through the use of color and exploration. And so we're really excited to host all of them and to introduce our audience to these artists that I'm thinking many of them have never seen before.
Mm. And I would imagine sort of growing out of your background as an education director at these museums that you were working at before you came to Manchester, that the education program at the Arts Center is also, I'm sure, one that's fairly important to you to continue growing that.
Absolutely. And so, you know, each one of these exhibitions that I've talked about gives us a huge number of programmatic opportunities. They can provide chances for customized tours for both adults and kids. They can provide opportunities for artist talks or curator talks, gallery tours and discussions, but also hands-on classes and workshops. I think Southern Vermont Art Center is probably known for its many fine art classes, our traditional painting, sculpting, children's camps, and all of those we're looking to expand, but also more community-related programs or things that we're thinking about. And some of the new offerings just this year include parent-child art-making classes and movement classes in our newly installed family gallery, or yoga, a weekly yoga session in our beautiful Yester House galleries. And so people are thinking about meditation and movement amongst the art, which I think is particularly
sounds
appropriate. or even artist community conversations, a new program that's really directed by our artist members, but that we host because we should be a forum and a place for those conversations where people who are living as artists or trying to make their professional way as artists can talk with others about, you know, the details of life as an artist, from something simple to, you know, how do you build a website or what social media platform do you use, to, you know, how do you secure gallery representation and what does that look like? So we're happy to be that connector and sometimes create programs for our community and sometimes let them create them and simply host them.
Right. I'm sure for many artists making that leap from their own personal studio to getting an exhibit mounted at a museum like yours is a big and daunting step for
yes.
the first time around. And I'm sure all the help it can give them is going to be much appreciated. I just wanted to pivot for a second to another topic here that I just wanted to talk a little bit about. Is that and that's the whole idea of, you know, the collaboration. You've alluded to that already today between SVAC and other arts organizations and within the broader community around Bennington County. As you know, earlier this year, a cultural plan for the county was developed and put forth, and it, among many things, it sort of suggested that more collaboration between various arts organizations might be one component that would be a good thing to see happen. That you know, there are lots of great art going on, lots of terrific artists. People seem to be genuinely interested in all of that. But, you know, the communication between the various organizations hasn't been quite as robust as perhaps it could have been.
Right.
What was your takeaway from that report, or where do you see that taking you?
Well, I think for us, it's happening at a perfect time because we are at a moment at SVAC where we want to reconnect with our community. And so many of our nonprofit and cultural partners are doing good work and I think have that same goal of connecting with the community. And I think all of us are stronger both by sharing resources, but also collaboration. And so some of the things that we've been doing this year are longstanding traditions. You know, we have often partnered with our educational partners, with our schools, with our colleges. You know, we host an annual Art from the Schools exhibition, which is one of our most popular exhibitions. And we, of course, will continue to do that. But then thinking about our other performing arts partners and other nonprofit partners, one example that just happened recently is SVAC sort of ventured into its first joint event and fundraiser with Green Mountain Academy for Lifelong Learning. And we're two very different organizations. We are all about the arts and making and nurturing the arts. And GMAL is all about continuing education. And yet those two things really can dovetail. And we had an opportunity to find a particular topic that both organizations found relevant. We focused on an artist, Ogden Pleisner, that is part of Southern Vermont Art Center's permanent art collection. And also, Jamal has done many, many art history lectures, some on Pleisner and some with one of their perennial speakers, who is the curator of art up at the Shelburne Museum. And so we used this idea to sort of create a kind of synergistic program, all on the very beautiful Bournebrook Farm, which was the home and studio of Ogden Pleisner, right here in Manchester, or right here in southern Vermont, I should say. And it was a great opportunity for us to kind of, you know, for both organizations to stretch their wings, to realize, yes, indeed, you can share expenses and income and audience, and both organizations are really the richer for it. And so it was not only a good experiment for us, but a model that we can think about going forward. And would those same things apply when we're working with our partners at the library or the Dorset Theater Festival or Dorset Players or the Manchester Music Festival, of course. So we're really keen on developing and deepening those relationships and creating new opportunities. So, you know, we are a small community here, and really kind of reinforcing that message that all of the arts and educational organizations are stronger when they work together.
It's one of those things, you know, collaboration is one of those things that sounds like it should be so obvious and simple. And of course, you're all on the same mission, or you're all want to provide the same service, or, you know, within. But it is a lot more difficult than it may seem at first blush. I remember from my own background, you know, over the last 10 years in journalism, for instance, there's been some sea changes going on and a lot of pressures to collaborate and share resources with different organizations that historically were kind of more silo-oriented.
Right.
Where, in fact, you wanted to be silo-oriented because you wanted to be the first one out with the story.
Sure.
There's a bit of that you sacrifice, I guess, when you start talking about cooperating or collaborating with, you know, other organizations that are similar.
Sure, sure. And all of our nonprofits are out there fundraising. We're all trying to make our own budgets. We're all trying to expand our audience. We're all trying to get a greater piece of the market share and advertising. You know, that's all true. But I really do believe that when we reach across into, you know, over to another organization that might have a very specific or very niche audience, that those audiences really do benefit from seeing, you know, their particular favorite nonprofit or their particular favorite organization in a new light and doing new things. Mm. And if it helps us reach new members and new constituents, you know, how can it go wrong? Sure, we might have to do things a little differently and think a little differently, but ultimately it should stretch us and grow us.
What do you make of sort of the local art scene here? Is there a pool of talent you see locally that you want to bring more into the Art Center?
Absolutely. You know, we are an organization that was founded by a group of artist members. You know, the Southern Vermont artists were an important part of our history. That's how the organization actually became a nonprofit and became an art center, because these artists were looking for a place to both display and sell the artwork that they were creating. But over the years, we've become much more than that. And so we've been really broadening our mission to think about nurturing the arts in general. And so that means, yes, showing artwork, both from local talent and further afield, and exposing our general community to different kinds of art. It's also thinking about not just the visual arts, but the performing arts, music and dance and theater. And it's also about art education, teaching art and allowing people to create. And I'm amazed at how in a community that by the numbers seems very small here in southern Vermont, is wonderfully creative. There are people who are exceptionally talented artists and exceptionally talented performers. But there are people here who really have traveled far afield and know and love and embrace and support the arts. And there's a local population that is equally interested in seeing new and creative art forms and participating in a variety of ways. And so for me, that's really exciting to be able to think about how we can be a creator and a connector to our very diverse community here.
Mm. I was wondering, a few years back, there was a little pop-up gallery that opened up in downtown Manchester, which always struck me as being a pretty interesting idea, you know, yeah. for folks who, for some reason, mentally, they think, oh, it's the Art Center, is that place up there on the hill, and I drive by there, but that's about as far close as I get to it. Is that an idea that maybe might be bubbling back in the long-range thinking about what you might want to do to
yeah.
serve as a bridge to the community?
Well, we certainly wouldn't rule it out. I think anything that gets us out into the community is important. And so whether it's a storefront or whether it's a more event-like opportunity, you know, we're keen to do it. Just this year, we kind of experimented and went out and set up booths at the Manchester Street Festival or the Peru Fair.
Yeah.
And those, for us, were opportunities that we either hadn't taken or hadn't taken in a long time. And it was wonderful to have people come up and wander into our little tent or booth right. area and say, well, what's happening up there these days? Or, oh, look at the beautiful, you know, artwork or retail craft items that you have for sale. Would you consider showing my work? Or, oh, you know, I didn't know that you did camps for such and such. Or, you know, it's really just a way to get out there and spread our message of what we're doing and that we want to be an important part of the community. And so I'm certainly thinking about those ideas, and as I get to know the lay of the land here, I'll probably come up with many more. So I'm certainly open to suggestions. But in spirit, yes, right. it's something we absolutely want to be creating programs both inside our own walls, but outside in the community as well.
Hmm. What's been your biggest surprise since coming here that you didn't expect to have happen? Maybe there's more than one.
I am surprised at how rich the community is in the arts, how many incredible organizations that there are, really world-class organizations that are creating unique theater, music, art, you know, visual and all kinds of performing in what I thought was initially a small little town. But the numbers don't really tell the story. And I think that's what's been a huge surprise to me about this area of Vermont is that while our population tells one story, it's really a very sort of wide and rich community in a lot of ways. That for me has been one of the best learning curves in getting to know our community. And then, of course, as the director, a new director of an organization, learning your own organization and facilities and history. We've got a lot of land and a lot of buildings right. up there on the hill, all with unique quirks. But, you know, we get through those and, right. and improving those and making them better for our programs and our offerings.
So you're also going to be open in January and February this year.
Yes.
I gather wasn't the case the year before.
Oh, well, it certainly wasn't the case the year before and probably not for a few years before that. But with our new exhibition, with the I Am More exhibition, and even with some of our programs earlier in December, we're really thinking about how we can be that year-round destination. So in December, you know, for the first time, we have a holiday craft market the first two weekends in December. And pairing that with some opportunities for program, a performance in our Arkell Pavilion of It's a Wonderful Life radio play, or some classes that are offered throughout December and January. And then in January, we'll keep Yesterhouse open with that whole new suite of exhibitions. And certainly all of our regular programming that goes along with that. Both art making as well as our yoga, our community conversations, and our family programs. And then as we move towards the spring, we'll start to open up Wilson again. And if we get to a point where we're starting to build audiences, we might expand from there. But certainly having a presence, I think, in the winter months is important for us.
So you've spoken a lot about the goals you're hoping to get to, and I suppose what you've already told us, in a sense, is what was going to be my final question. What was the long-range strategic plan for the Arts Center? I mean, beyond, you know, sort of, you know, trying to get closer to the community, for lack of a better mm-hmm. word, is there something beyond all of that, or is that, I mean, that would be a large task in and of itself. But is there something you're thinking in the back of your mind, like, well, in 5 years from now, I'd like the Arts Center to be here?
Yes.
Or is it too soon to be thinking along that far?
Well, you know, there's parts of it that are fleshed out, and some of it I'm sure will adapt the more we experiment and you know, the more invested and embedded I get in the community. I'm sure some of those things will adapt. But certainly thinking about ways to make the organization healthier and stronger. And so that comes in a couple of shapes and sizes. So as many viewers know, we have, you know, four programmed buildings. Some are old, some are new. And investing in them so that they can really operate optimally. And so we can have the most positive experience for our guests in any one of those facilities. And so we can have programs that support those facilities. Mm. So, you know, that's one thing that we really need to do and work on as an organization, is maintaining and improving those facilities. Parallel to that, of course, is the financial piece and thinking about the fiscal health of the organization. Mm-hmm. And how do you create opportunities to not only fundraise, but to earn income and revenue through participation. So that's something that we think about. Not as a means, you know, not as a goal in and of itself, but to support the operation and to support your mission. But then really ultimately, I think for me, the most important part is thinking about those goals as ways to support how you get out to your community and how you can create relevant programming that people in the area want and need. Mm-hmm. And as you develop those programs and as you strengthen your audience, start to branch out beyond that. And so for me, I think about really being the best arts organization that we can be and using the arts in all of its forms to make people's lives richer. And the more we can do that, and for more people, you know, for whom we can do that, the better a job we'll do.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Ann. Really a pleasure to have you down here and to hear about some of these really interesting ideas that you have for the Arts Center, which is certainly an important bedrock of the community. Really hard to imagine the town without it. And all right. Well, glad to have you with us. Most interesting talking to you. We'll have to have you come back again next year and give
Wonderful.
Us the update on how all this stuff played out. And thank all of you for being with us today as well. I hope you've enjoyed the show and found it interesting and informative. And we'll see you again the next time. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening local. For more local content, visit gnat.tv.